Therapy Insiders is brought to you by Verve, makers of the Arc, a revolutionary neck pain relief and postural support device, available now at www.goarcnow.com, and by Edge Mobility System. Give your mobility the edge. Available at www.edgemobilitysystem.com.
Hello, welcome back to Therapy Insiders. Dr. Gene Chirac-Abrad here with Dr. Joe Palmer. Dr. Erson Religioso is away teaching a course in the Philippines. Shout out. Hope everything's going well. But joining us today, making a triumphant yet again return, is the venerable Jerry Durham. Jerry, how's it going?
It's going well, Gene. Joe, how are you guys doing?
Good, Jerry. Thanks for coming back.
Not too bad. And you know what? How are you doing, listeners? How many podcasts actually ask you how you're doing? I'm guessing not many. Has anybody ever listened to a podcast when the podcast host asked the listener how they're doing? Have you guys?
Never. Can't say that I have.
There you go. And do you know why I ask? It's because we care. Seriously. We care, and care is kind of Jerry's bread and butter, because care is the foundation of the customer experience. If you genuinely care about your customers, only good things can happen. Right, Jerry?
100% agree, Gene. You are correct.
I'm going to cut that clip and use it forever and ever. Whenever
you're just going to play that behind everything you ever
everything.
Say anymore.
Anytime there's any kind of Twitter argument you and I have, I'm just going to bust that clip out. But it's true, right? If there's no pretense, and we know that if a customer is coming to you, there is a business, there's going to be a transaction, and you're trying to earn their business. You're trying to have them pay you, right? That's what it comes down to. You provide a service or a product or whatever, and the customer comes to you and pays you for that. But it can be more than that. And that's kind of the separation between good, bad, or good and great. It's that experience. So let me ask you, Jared, how do you build that experience for healthcare? Because God knows somewhere along the line, healthcare and customer service decided not to really care about each other, or at least healthcare. Somewhere clinicians just stopped caring about customer service and focusing on everything else. Why is that, and how do we fix that?
So, healthcare definitely kicked customer service out because it did exist. And I reference this frequently, back in the day of the house calls and, getting in to see your doctor, and everybody knew their family doctor and they called each other by name. When that disappeared, we can speculate and we can talk about the emergence of HMOs and things like that, and the bigger reliance on health insurance and them taking over. I think that was a big part of it. But it was there. We kicked it out, and now it's roaring back, whether healthcare wants it. Now customer service is kicking in the door. So it is coming back. It is. How do we bring it back? How do we bring it to healthcare? It's as simple. You know what I did most of today? I spent probably 75% of my day today calling back everybody who did not schedule with me. And I called, and whether it's voicemail or get them live, I offer to be a resource to help get them scheduled at the proper clinic. And I got to tell you, those people are not doing business with me. There is no transaction taking place. But I figure with the time investment, and if we really do believe and state it's about the patient and getting what's best for them, then shouldn't we follow up with people who don't schedule with us to make sure, my kick to them is I just want to make sure you're getting good physical therapy. Are you getting taken care of? And man, the reactions I get are far worth the phone calls. So it's things like that to bring the customer service back in. You know, my other big line is just picking up the phone is step number one, because nobody expects it. And the bar is so low in healthcare is that if you answer the phone and you tell someone you'll call them back in 3 hours and you call them back in 2 hours, they are just ecstatic. It's really not hard to please people in healthcare on that side.
And that comes back to care, right? Because you genuinely care what's going to happen to the person that calls you, whether they come see you or not. You want to make sure they end up at a location well, where they will get taken care of well. And even though if they schedule with you, obviously that's a very direct ROI or return on investment. But even if they don't, and it might be harder to track, or it might not if you ask all your customers or patients where they hear about you and where, you know, how they found you, the referral, which I think most people should be or are tracking anyway. But if you have one person say, well, you know, my friend or my cousin called your clinic and you know, you were out of network, but they wanted to go in network, but it doesn't matter to me. And you have at least one person out of that one day that you have a secondary patient out of. I mean, that's a big return on investment from your time.
Yeah, I agree. It has happened. Hasn't happened a lot. And again, I will admit fully, I expect to convert none of those patients. I have converted a handful of them over the years of calling. So, I mean, we're talking, the percentage is low. Some of those people going, you know what, believe it or not, I'm not really happy where I am and I'm thinking of changing. And then that starts a conversation. And that's not really why I'm calling them. Again, like you said, they called me to get physical therapy. So my job is to make sure they get physical therapy. And I have 2 positive Yelp reviews. That's my claim to fame. By people that I called back whom never did business with us, who gave us whatever it is, 4 or 5 star reviews on Yelp.
That's pretty big. Usually pretty negative on Yelp anyway.
Yeah, exactly. But what else? That's the claim to fame.
What else is there aside from calling? So calling is great, obviously, but not a lot of clinic owners have the time or capacity to answer phone calls. And obviously, the easy answer to that is train somebody really well to do the phone calls for you. But what about beyond that? Let's say you have the calling part down. And we'll come back to the calls a little bit more because I want to ask you some more specific questions. What do you think, Joe? What do you do in your clinic? Because you have a fairly successful clinic and you've been really busy. What do you do to make sure that customer experience stays or gets even better throughout their care while they're with you instead of just getting them there?
I think that the biggest thing is making sure that all of your physical therapists are trying to go beyond just what's expected. And I think that when everybody can have that goal, they can do the little things in the clinic that make the patient realize that they do care and that they're getting a little bit more experience. Everybody expects to get better. That's why they come to physical therapy. I guess that not everybody. There are those few that don't believe that anything's going to help them. So I think that
majority of people.
The majority of people come to physical therapy because they've been told that this is what they have to do in order to get better. And so that is just meeting the standard. That's not going above and beyond. So you know, it can be as simple as you know, making sure that when they're taking a break, they get a glass of water. I mean, it can be little things, but the thing that I use the most is I make sure that with every patient, I'm having some kind of meaningful about their treatment, but about what's going on with them. And I'm trying to bring it back the next time I see them. And I'm trying to continue that conversation because that's developing a relationship. And at the end of the day, we want our therapists to be that patient's physical therapist. All right. So at the end of the day, when somebody asks you, chiropractors are great at this, right? They if somebody asks you where you go, it's a single name. This Dr. So and So. That's my chiropractor, right? I want my therapist to take that and try to be that patient's physical therapist, so that when the doctor tells them, we work with the hospital-based clinic. You should go there after your knee surgery. I want my patient to say, that's okay. I have Dr. Joe, and I'm gonna go back to active life and sports. And I want them to say that to the doctor. And so, that's the idea. You have to create that experience, develop that relationship, and then be their physical therapist. So if everybody kind of buys into that that mindset, it creates the atmosphere, because every time they come in is a new chance to wow them.
And it's taking the experience from just holding a clipboard or the exercise chart or just doing techniques and things like that to actually just talking with the person about everything, about life, about being, I know a lot of my patients joke around about this. They're like, am I here for physical therapy or am I here for psychology therapy? And it's true. That's as much of our job as anything, or it should be, the psychology part of it, and treating them as people that have issues and have things that they want to talk about and have a therapy session on many levels. And I know we've mentioned this before, just having a moment where you remember something from, 3 weeks ago, from three conversations ago, like, oh, hey, wasn't your daughter going to be in the softball tournament? How did that go? And just that moment when they realize you have so many patients, but you remember something so little that they perceive as little to you, but it's not, because you genuinely care.
Yeah. We are asking for way too much money to sit there and count reps, right? We're not rep counters. We're not holding a clipboard and counting reps. If that's what you're doing, then you're overpaid. I mean, you're not providing providing any value to your
patients or to the profession, which is a hot topic now that we'll talk a little bit about towards the latter part of the episode, with the latest Texas conversation or disagreement or any other synonym you want to use.
Jerry, what do you say to your PTs? What's your message to them?
I agree. Joe is exactly right, and I like what Gene said. I constantly reflect back on, I shared this story, I believe, with you guys on the podcast about one of my PTs. If you go to the office, all you ever hear is her voice. And I used to go back and say, look, this can't be good. I was saying to myself, this can't be good. Because if she's talking, then the patient's not talking, and it can't be about the patient. But then you go back and you look at the no-show cancel rates and you look at who's scheduled the fullest. Guess who it is? It's her. So I went back in one day and listened more closely to the conversation, not just the voices. And what I realized she was doing is every word that comes out of her mouth is about her patient. And I realized you could sit there for a week and you would know nothing about her, because she's talking to her patient about their goals, about the exercise, how that exercise pertains to their goals, or she's asking them exactly what you guys just said. So how was your weekend? Oh, you did that. That sounds awesome. And so, both of you guys to the point, building that relationship, building trust, listening. And, you know, and even though she's talking, it's like everything is going back and relating back to what they talked about, what's important to them. So to me, that says she heard exactly what you said, and she's constantly reminding you of that, you know. So that's such a huge part of it. And she is. She's one of my most successful PTs. And it's just about the person sitting across from her.
And that's an important thing to take. And I know we have a lot of DPT students that listen and new grads that listen. And when you come out of school, you're so focused on learning, which is great. And I know a lot of new grads really want residencies, which is great as well. But you have to understand that there's something that you should have a pretty good grasp on, and that's being a decent human being, right? Decent human beings have conversations with other people, and that's something you can do whether you're in school or out of school. You know, if you're doing clinicals and you can easily talk with your patients, but your CI is super experienced, robot that can do a lot of techniques, I'll take you any day versus them, because we can teach you skills, but we can't teach you, or it's very hard to teach, to have good conversations and to be open and to be kind of have that relationship with the patient. It's not impossible, obviously, because people do it, but that's something that you should not be afraid to do. And don't forget about that part, regardless if you're practicing for 2 months or 2 years or more. You know, you have a lot of potential to be a really good clinician, even if you don't have a huge skill set now. Now, not to say that, you know, don't worry about the other stuff, because it is important, but you learn that. But you're not as helpless as you think coming out of school.
Dead on. Yeah, I totally agree, Gene. That's a great point.
So speaking about customer experience, Jerry, we've had some questions on Twitter, ZTwitter. First one, kind of relating to this, Jason Balafleur, at Jason BPT asked, hey Jerry, does your biz have a hashtag customer experience system? If so, what are some of the important elements?
Oh, what an interesting question. And I didn't even plan him to ask that. Did you hear about what's going on in Chicago in August, Jason?
Is there something in Chicago in August?
Yeah, August 22nd, coincidentally. We'll be talking about all of that.
Is there a Cubs game?
Yeah, there will be a Cubs game on August 21st at 3 p.m. And I know six crazy fools who will be in the bleachers during that game. and then on Saturday, we will be discussing that all day long. So the answer, Jason, is yes, it does. And I've got a very detailed customer experience. And what we did, and I'll give you the highlights of it. What we did was we went back and identified every single touch point in the company. When is a customer coming in contact with the company? And then that's step one. And so so to this point, and to tell you what the first step is, we had a conversation on Twitter about 3 weeks ago where people were sharing the most important touch point in the company. And everybody was saying, oh, it's that eval day, you know, or sorry, it's that eval time. When the patient or the healthcare consumer is in front of your physical therapist, that's the most important customer touch point. And I totally disagree, because if you miss it at the initial contact, which is the phone call when they first call your company, then that eval isn't going to mean anything. And let alone that patient may not even schedule. So really the most important touch point is that first contact with your company when that phone is picked up or not picked up, by the way. That's another point. So what we did, Jason, we went through and we identified every single touch point, and then we broke down everything that occurs during that touch point and what need to be trained and what, you know, people already knew. And we go through it frequently, and everybody is not involved in every touch point, but it is very important that every team member knows what's going on at every touch point, because those who come in at later touch points needs to know conversations and things that are shared at the earlier touch points so that they can then deliver on those. So that's the brief outline.
I wish I was counting how many times you said touch point.
I love it, man. And by the way, touch point, when someone calls your clinic, and it goes to voicemail, that's a touch point that you just, I could have just used my first curse word, but that is a touch point that you just messed up.
It's not a good touch. It's a bad touch point.
I kid you not. I lose about 50% of the customers who go to voicemail. By the time I call them back, oh, thank you very much. I had the conversation today, and then I scream when I put the phone down. Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I did get scheduled somewhere else. I called somewhere else after I called you. And I'm like, oh, great. Yeah, that's great. I hope you get taken care of. Yeah.
Can I put you on hold for a second? Just 1 second. And Jerry breaks.
So, yeah.
How many phones do you go through in a month
after
you destroy
headsets.
Them?
Headsets.
Just headsets flying through the clinic. Your clinician.
And there's
code.
No door. By the way, there's no door on the office I'm sitting in, and that's a running joke. There needs to be a door.
there should be a door. All right, so that's great. Jason, obviously, if you make it out August 22nd in Chicago, we'll all be there. It'll be a good time. It'll be very informative.
And we'll go into detail. We'll go into detail on identifying the touch points and what needs to go into them. And I would argue, I've got some data. Yes, it's me, but it's years of data showing some changes in different parts of my business that I did not foresee changes in, but came after we introduced this program into our company. So I think it's going to be an interesting conversation.
It sounds like a system that should work, especially if you outline the points in the conversation with the customer that work, that don't work, kind of like anything else, whether you're selling PT or you're selling a product, that you want to keep track of the metrics
maybe you're selling something called an arc or something.
Yeah, like maybe that. Something like that. I mean, I'm reading about so many metrics all the time and figuring out which ones are useful and not. There's just so much stuff that's kind of like the double-edged sword. There's so much information out there, but most of that information is not necessarily relevant to what you're doing. It doesn't mean it's bad information, but good information that's not relevant is useless information, or a lot of times a hindrance, because it slows you down until you learn that it's not important. What about you, Joe? Do you guys have a certain customer experience system, or are you perfecting it, or are you working on anything?
Yeah, I mean, the latest thing that we're working on is our waiting room. We have a customer experience wall. So it's basically a wall of success stories that we're compiling as we patients that are willing to write and you know put their face out there. But it gives a spot that, you know, that new patient that's sitting there and filling out their paperwork and then waiting for their scheduled appointment, they can kind of look at some of the other successes and kind of get in that positive frame of mind. They're going to be another success story. So that's one thing we do our customer satisfaction surveys, net promoter score. I know we touched on that in another podcast, so we work with that. But I think that it's important to get those metrics. But I guess my question to Jerry would be, I feel like when you get metrics, when you get information, you're getting it at certain time periods, and most people are likely to fill out the survey at the end of their care. Those people that stay till the end of their care are satisfied with their care, so you get a very skewed perception of reality, in my opinion. So do you guys do any kind of surveys or feedback throughout the care, Jerry?
Yeah, we do. After eval. So we do. Yeah. And to your point, exactly, Joe. And we ask the tough questions after the eval, knowing damn well, by the way, I think we're changing our final survey to one question. Did you achieve
what you came here to achieve. That's it. Because really, isn't that the ultimate? That's the only question that matters. We take it after a vow. We've toyed with, I think we're changing a little bit, but after a third or fourth visit, and then after discharge.
Yeah, see, we did after eval, we did between 6 and 10 visits, and then somewhere between the 6 and the 10 visit mark, and then at discharge. And sometimes if you got that 6 to 10 out late, it was like bam bam, you know, they're getting both, you know, in two visits or whatever. But anyway,
right.
You know, people were feeling like they were being surveyed to death. We were getting all this information, and we weren't really able to compile it into useful data. Do you, what do you guys use to do your survey? You do SurveyMonkey?
No. Two things. We're using Net Promoter Score after the evaluation, and it comes with one question. And okay. So then I personally follow up by phone with every single – I love saying this, and I love to say it slow for effect – with every single score below an 8. No. With every single score below a 9. And I've gotten some very... And you want to know what's interesting? You think everybody's subjective and they're just filling this thing out? Every single person I've talked to so far has given us objective information that we can that we've taken back and used to improve.
Anything specific that you can share?
Yeah, interesting enough. And... for the record, let me just say right now, we're not discontinuing our student program. But what I found, this is so interesting. And this is like, yeah, you start digging into stuff, right? So, okay, what's this low Net Promoter Score mean, right? Do I call them? Do I not call them? Well, it's useless if you don't follow up with them. what I'm finding is what's being promised on the front end, that initial contact at that touch point, and the brand promises that are being sold. When we have interns, the expectation is far greater, and we don't call them students. We don't call them any of that. We call them interns. The expectation of my customers about who's going to treat them and who is the best to deliver their care is higher than I assumed. Yeah, so that's been interesting. So we're just having a conversation now. So how do we meet the needs of keeping students with delivering on our brand promises and delivering the level of care that we say we're going to deliver? So that's been interesting. I'm not making any assumptions about it. I've gotten the feedback. Me and Sturdy and my ops guy are sitting down to discuss, okay, you know, what does this mean and where do we go from here? So it's stuff like that. Yeah. And that has showed up on more than one occasion.
I'm sure that's definitely not exclusive to you. I've had a few conversations with patients when they kind of pull you aside and say after the treatment, like, they're good, but if you don't mind in the future, if I can see you, and you know, that's definitely their choice, and I'd say that's usually more of a minority of patients than the majority, but it definitely happens.
Yeah, and so that's something that came out with that survey to answer your question. And to Joe's point of getting over-surveyed, every survey so far has one question. So it's one question at each touch point. And really, it's really drilling down and coming up with just the ultimate question.
Yeah, and the point to students, if this happens to you, and it happened to me is when I was a student, and God knows I was an incredible student. I was a star pupil.
Oh my God, you're probably the best.
I was a superstar student.
Think of those lucky patients who got
to
work with you.
Listen to me. They were lining up. But anyway,
for a refund.
It did happen. They were lining. they were coming in with injuries that they didn't even know they had just to get treated by me. But anyway. But the point is as a student, that's not something you should take personally. As hard as it is, it's all perception, right? Patients come in with a perception, especially patients that come in with a physician that they saw that the physician tells them, go see Gene. And when they get the script, with my name on it, it's a hard pill for them to swallow when I say that you're going to see my student or me and my student, even if the student's been there for 8 weeks or 9 weeks. So those things happen, and I always tell my students about that. You know, I always tell them, listen, I'll treat this patient from now on. This is why, or we'll co-treat, but I'll do majority of it. And I think they need to know that, and I think it's a great learning experience, and it should be used as a learning experience versus anything negative.
You know, to that, Gene, just to follow up, like I said, we're not getting rid of our student program by any stretch. We're figuring out how it works best in our system. The other thing is, I worked hard with my PTs to have the proper conversation with the patient when they had students with them, because my PTs weren't having the proper conversations to set the students up for success with the patients that are getting seen. So that's part of the customer experience part, right? And so the PTs play a role in that part too.
I think that's a piece that doesn't get talked a lot about is students in the clinic and how the patients interact, and that interaction. I think that's great. And I know I'm super, super hard on students, and not to be hard on them for the sake of that, but I really want them to get as much as they can. And, you know, I treat them as professionals, not as students. And I don't get upset for their lack of knowledge, but I want them to understand and actually experience what the real world in the clinic will be and different situations. I don't want to shield them from anything. I really want them to get as much as they can. And the last two of my students that I had before, I was too busy for students, we've hired. So that, you know, if they can get through that, then they should be pretty good clinicians.
Hey, I want to go back to the survey thing real quick, Gene.
Shoot.
And another point, and I was glad to hear Joe say too, that they were taking surveys at different touch points. Different time, sorry, because I think that's important.
I like the one question idea. I mean, I think that is definitely a way to cut through the useless data and just make it one real question, and then follow up. I like what you said about calling everybody back to really get more information. Don't make them write it. Make them say it to you.
You got it. And by the way, everybody is. And I immediately on the phone call say, I'm not calling to try to change your mind. I'm not calling to try to, you know, reschedule you. I'm calling to ask you a question and then be quiet and listen to you. And they all are happy to share. When I tell them I'm just trying to, you know, I'm trying to use your feedback to better my company.
People like to help. So moving on to a different world of business and customers, our friend at cinema_air or cinema on Twitter, Jerry, asked you a question. He's asked, imagine you have a significant amount of money, or maybe you don't have to imagine, you might be rolling in the dough. To spend exclusively on purchasing a PT practice, what qualities will you look for in these prospective PT purchases? So you want to buy a PT clinic. You've got some dough to play with. What are you looking for?
Number one is the culture, because if I'm buying the team and the current employees, the idea is not to have to fire everybody and start over. So number one is the culture.
What specifically about the culture are you looking for?
I want the PTs that we all believe exist and would want. I want people who believe that you can make a call at 5:01 and you don't have to, you know, who believe that you're selling a plan of care, that when a patient falls off of your schedule, it's your responsibility and it's your patient and it's not the front office's patient. So, and I want that culture of everybody has a job to do and they need to do their job well. And, you know, my job is not subservient to you. My job is to do well so that you can do well. All those things are very important in a culture. And I've rarely seen that in physical therapy. It is what it is. Because I think there are PTs who want to work in that culture,
So let's shoot it around. It's not because of the PTs aren't the ones delivering. It's because the people running it don't try to make that culture. So that's a number one I'm going to look for.
What else are you looking for?
A number one. Well, I think if that's there, then you can create whatever you want. You know, I'm going to want that culture, and then I'm going to want a practice that's known for its name and not a PT. So I don't want it's everybody go see Gene. I want it everybody go see San Francisco Sports. So again, we're getting back to the culture thing where all the PTs deliver and do what's promised. Yes, you're still going to get people calling, asking for someone, but they come because they know the brand and the brand is well recognized.
They trust, the clinic versus a specific
person. And, you know, those two will then bring you whatever the hell else you want and will bring you your biggest ROI.
So Jerry, talk to us about developing clinic brand versus developing Jerry Durham. At some point you had to make that switch, right?
Oh, you had to, big time, dude. That was a huge, everybody, as soon as we hired our first PT, it was hard to schedule anybody with them, right? Because we were so busy marketing ourselves.
Happens to us all the time.
I spend a lot of time and energy having conversations with our providers. You know, if they ask who's really ideal, I just pick out three people, and then coincidentally, there's one in each office. So I will answer that question and then usually qualify it with, you know, we see everybody one-on-one. We spend this time with everybody. You know, I've hired all these PTs. These are the type of people I hired. So I bring it back to the global level frequently. And then, you know, for a while, not for a while, we still do. I have business cards that just have the office names on them. And I'll hand those out a lot to providers. And right. I'll make sure they know where our locations are and that we have physical therapists and all these. And you know, and so I just continually pound what the brand is and nobody's name. And yeah, that took time, as you heard, Joe. I mean, we had to do that. Fortunately, you know, your relationship with the provider, if they're going to send you people, then I get that PT involved. I had a hip doctor who was sending everybody exclusively to one of my PTs, who's my busiest PT in one of my smaller clinics. Guess who reached out to the doctor and had a conversation with him? That PT. She has the relationship. He trusts her. So who am I to go tell him you should send people? I had her find a person at each other clinic that she was comfortable with. And then she contacted the doctor. And guess what? I just started noticing this week. He's starting to send people, not just to her. And that was all because we had her reach out. So, you know, there's a couple strategies around that.
So communication, right? Communication, whether it's with patients or whether it's with physicians, it all comes down to proper communication and how sometimes you drive and carry the conversation, which is psychology. And we've mentioned this a lot. It's psychology is so, so important. And communication is important. And speaking of speaking and talking with physicians and poor communication, I want to get to the part where we brought up earlier about the issue going on in Texas. So this has been a bit of a firestorm on Twitter over the last couple weeks.
Oh, so are we going to talk about the Warriors then, right? Because Texas, the Houston Rockets.
Yes,
right? NBA Finals
done.
NBA Finals. Is your local Baltimore team, were they in the playoffs?
We don't have a Baltimore basketball team.
Oh, you don't. Oh, okay. I was just curious.
Because
all right.
Because nobody cares about basketball.
I got you.
Unless it's March Madness.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Moving on.
Okay, move on.
Go O's. All right, so this I'm going to read the letter. This is from Tom Garcia, who is the president of the Texas Medical Association. I'm going to first read the letter in its entirety, and then we'll discuss professionally without – all right, professionally. Here we go. This is from HB Bill 1263. This is from May 10th, 2015. Dear doctor. Dear doctor. Dear doctor. The medicine needs... Save it for after I read the letter. May 10th, 2015. Dear doctor, medicine needs your help to keep a bad bill from moving forward in Texas House of Representatives. We are asking you because Representative Sarah Davis, your state representative, is in the perfect place to keep that bill bottled up. House Bill 1263 would allow physical therapists, that's us, to provide treatments to patients without a physician first examining the patient, establishing a diagnosis, and referring them for PT. The bill has moved slowly through the Texas legislature this session, but now, in the closing weeks of the session, it may have some momentum. It's up to you and Representative Davis to stop that momentum. The bill is now in the powerful House Calendars Committee, which schedules bills for debate in the House floor. We need to keep it in calendars. Representative Davis is a member of the Calendars Committee and has the power to, quote-unquote, tag the bill to keep it from moving forward. Please call Representative Davis, blah, 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 her phone number, on Monday morning before 9:30 and ask her to tag HB 1263 in calendars. Tell Representative Davis that you are a constituent. Then use these talking points, which are highlights of this entire thing, believe it or not. Talking point one. Tag HB 1263 in Calendars Committee. Tag 2. A physician's medical diagnosis serves as the foundation for physical therapy services and acts as a filter to ensure that a patient is provided the most effective and efficient treatment possible. Okay, I'm going to read the next tag knowing that I have to use all of my willpower not to talk about that right now. Just so you know how much willpower I'm using right now. And that's a lot. Tag 3. Just as it's not wise for an ill person to go directly to a pharmacist for medicine, it's not wise for a person suffering pain to go directly to a physical therapist for treatment. I'm biting my lip right now. I'm literally biting my lip. I might start bleeding soon. All right, tag 3. This is the last one, and then we can talk about it. Coordinating care between physicians and physical therapists results in savings and better care for patients. Remember, the power of organized medicine at the Capitol comes from Texas physicians building relationships with their elected officials. That's a nice line. I appreciate your ongoing support of Texas medicine, our patients, and our profession. Some might argue that it should be appreciate your ongoing support of our patients, Texas medicine, and our profession, but whatever. Sincerely, Tom Garcia, MD, President, Texas Medical Association. Lovely letter. Brings tears to your eyes, doesn't it? So what do you think? What do you think, Jerry? What do you think of Tom Garcia's letter?
The first thing I think is God bless any type of system where you can form a committee called a calendar committee that has like the most control in the state capitol. That right there should define politics for you people. That's my first opinion. All I heard was a calendar committee. That sounds like something my mom would be on.
It's all based on Google Docs. They just kind of get together and they color the squares for different different topics.
I love it. All right. Hey, here's my point. I've made it on Twitter more than once, and I'll make it again. There are absolutely no facts in there, and so what we have done traditionally is we love to attack this letter with all our facts and all our good doings, and it gets us absolutely nowhere. And the thing I wish someone would do is at the next committee meeting when they're actually sitting across from the docs and their lobbyists and everything, is read that letter. I would love to see a physical therapist read that letter in a committee and then sit back and cross their arms and go, okay, I assume now, Medical Association, you will present all the facts and data to back up everything you just stated and sit back and cross your arms. And that's it. The discussion's over. But instead, we show up in the Capitol and I've been in more than one place where this has occurred, and we pontificate and we go on and we have 45 minutes and we take 55 minutes to just spew all the great facts about physical therapy. And it was like, wow, the other side has presented nothing and we just presented a bunch of facts, and it is such a waste of time.
Right, because facts are facts and facts are dry, and this is hard to read on Twitter because a lot of people are taking an emotional response to a professional issue.
Well, you know what it is, Gene. It's a little bit of fear on their side. I think that
totally agree. Totally agree. It's fully fearful.
I think that they think that we're able to and demonstrating that we can be that provider for musculoskeletal pain, and I think there's an element of control that they are trying to hang on to there. But at the end of the day, Jerry, you'd agree, you let the market decide, right? I mean,
And by the way, the other thing, real quick, to Joe's point, being he brought my name back into it, is when is the last time? Well, I can account for my group. I've never seen the CPTA roll a group of patients, customers, anybody into a hearing and let them talk for 45 minutes. Bring in constituents of the calendar committee members and do that on purpose because it's posted. So you go find constituents from every one of their districts, find one, find two, and get them to talk about the benefits of physical therapy and how easy and the time. So let them share their facts and data, which is it saved me time. It saved me money. By the way, I'm a constituent. And then just let it go. Let it go.
I would understand. You know, I would understand on a professional level, on even a business level, if physical therapists right now in 2015, if Texas was the first state we were trying to get direct access to, and the physicians were up in arms in Texas because it would set a precedent for everyone else, whether good or bad. But Texas is not the first state. There is direct access all over the country. There is information all over the country to show how it's beneficial. So in my mind, two things are happening, possibly two things. Let's simplify things because I like simple things. Dr. Tom Garcia, he is either completely detached from the realities of overall healthcare and he's just ignorant when he writes this, or B, he is actually malicious in trying to write this for his own good. So either way, I don't see a positive light for this to be written because all they have to do is look around geographically into their neighboring states and see that so many other states have direct access, and that in this day and age that this wouldn't get spread and shown to everybody is crazy. But Joe, to your point that you let the market decide, well, it's not always that simple because if the market never knows this is going on and this is all political and direct access gets shut down in Texas, the market has no way to make a decision. They just follow with status quo. So you have to go beyond that market. Sometimes you have to show the market what the heck is going on. But then again, it's moving past. It's moving past the.
Oh, because we're trying to legislate too much. It's big government, man. Let's not get into that.
Right, but it comes down to a simple thing of finances. I mean, it always comes down to money, right? And especially with this. And the bottom line is, we save the government money. We save insurance money. We save everybody money if they come to see us first. It's that simple. We'll make you feel better and we'll save you money. And like you said, that's a scary thing for a lot of physicians, but not all of them. I know there's plenty of really good physicians they understand the healthcare, the team effort, and especially physicians that have had physical therapy that have been injured. I mean, some of my best referrals are from physicians that I've treated, and they get it, right? Most people get it once you live through it, once you understand what the other aspect is living through, because as we're up in arms right now on Twitter, we're preaching to the choir. We're preaching, you know, we're talking, we're debating this within ourselves. And of course, we're all going to say, yeah, this is crazy. But we never bring in others to the conversation. We never reach out to other physicians or pharmacists that they name in this. I mean, pharmacists should be just as pissed off too. Obviously, it's not their bill, but, you know, in that solid third point that he made there. So it's, what do we do? This is a broad question, but what do we do to let Tom know that this whole thing has no bearing on patients? This is actually harmful for patients. How do we get this into the minds, into the sights of more than just physical therapists? How do we either expand the choir or look for a completely different choir to preach to?
Well, let me ask you this question. Why are we worried about Tom? Conversation isn't with Tom.
Why are you asking me, answering questions with questions? That's what I want to know.
That's what I love to do, dude. No, the conversation's not with Tom. Who's the conversation with? Mistake number one. It's got to be, because to Joe's point, I mean, it's a legislative issue, so we got to play by the legislative rules. And remember, people, House of Cards is make-believe. Really?
What?
No, it's make-believe. What? Which, yeah, my point is, it's more real.
Spoiler
it's
alert.
More real than anybody wants to admit.
Spoiler alert.
Right? So we got to know what game we're playing in, right? And people made the point about conversations and, you know, not the way to start conversations. Step one is know who the hell you need to talk to. And it's got to be the legislators at this point, because as much as I agree with Joe about over legislating, it's the process. So learn the rules, you know, and then use them. Worked, and quit repeating the same thing over and over again. Let's bring in last year. No. Yeah. Last year, Advocacy Day, PT Advocacy Day in DC, one person brought a video of their patient on their iPad into the representative's meeting with the representative. It got the biggest and best reaction of anything. It was 1 30-second video. And that was Eva Gorman in Minnesota, who killed it and got more done in 30 seconds than most of us have gotten done in a year. If everybody showed up in DC with a video of one patient who's a constituent of that person, you know, or showed up in Texas with a video of someone who has benefited from physical therapy and says, I want to be able to see a physical therapist without wasting my time and wasting my money at the doctor's office first, then that is what's going to get stuff done.
I think that's a great idea. So there you go. That's a little project for our listeners, all six of you, to do.
I mean, we have direct access now. If you continue to promote that and get people aware of,
yeah, and get people
of what
talking,
they have,
yeah,
then it becomes so much harder to take it away from somebody, because that's true too. That's the process, right? I mean, if we already have it, we're not fighting for it. We just have to make it a good enough thing that people understand the benefit that they're receiving, that they want to hold on to it, because then any kind of legislation to take it away becomes that much harder. It doesn't have support.
Can we please do a project? So hashtag Project PT. If you're listening, get one patient and have them just record a 15 to 30 second blurb of them talking, telling them why they've benefited, what they've done. And either post it on Twitter or send it to me, and I'll make that a whole podcast episode of just patients talking about your clinic and why you've done well. We'll just post that. That's it. I'll edit that together, and it'll be your patients, everybody's patients, saying why PT is great and why they've benefited. I think that'd be a really cool thing to see. And it's a completely different voice, and it's a completely different choir than instead of us just preaching, because we know. We live it. It's our daily life. We see the benefit, and we have a stake in it. You know, we do. It's our business as well. but our patients don't. Their only stake is their health. So with that, any closing thoughts, Joe?
Hey, I thought this was a good cast. I'm pretty jacked up right now. I'm gonna go PT Project.
Hashtag PT Project. What about you, Jer? Closing thoughts.
I thought you said there were gonna be naughty words.
Well, you said like three. Is it naughty kind of a naughty word in itself? Don't you feel weird when you say naughty?
No, you know what makes me feel naughty is when I say dirty.
Dirty? But
that's for another podcast, I guess.
I know some people get really weird with moist.
Yeah, that's another one. But, you know, and by the way, if we start chaining these words together, then it gets really weird.
Yeah, that's just that puts context to the words.
You mean like moist heat, Gene?
Yeah, you got it.
That is naughty.
Dirty moist heat.
That is a very naughty term.
Yeah.
All right.
No, I love this. And I think the key is just understanding, you know, our, by the way, we love to talk business here and we talk about who's your target customer, who's your target market. Well, when getting direct access, right, then you got to, you know, we got to understand who our customer is, who our target market is, and play by those rules and just drill them. And it's always going to be emotional. And by the way, don't forget, when you're sitting in front of a legislator, in D.C. and you're the physical therapist, talking.
Are you okay? Have a vested interest. Jerry, there? Is your stomach growling?
You have a
growling?
Vested interest in the group.
What was that, Jerry? Do you need a treat?
You know, hey, those are killer dogs, dude.
not to forget, before we finish out, Bobby Russell at B_Russell, proud Russell Sprout, asked what kind of effort should be made to change the point of view without increasing the disconnect between PT and MD. So we kind of answered that, but that was this question as well. So
well,
shout out.
Yeah, Bobby. I think real quick, man, it's the disconnect is bring in patients and just let patients talk about it. And, you know, patients won't talk poorly. That's the other thing. We show up and we talk poorly about MDs, right? The patients won't talk poorly about MDs. They'll just tell you what's great about physical therapy and why it was easier for me and why it was cheaper for me to use it. You know, they're not going to talk poorly about another group. We show up, we beat up on the ATCs, we beat up on the MDs, we beat up on whoever, you know, and that dome ceiling just has this poor effect on the way shit needs to get done. And we need to reevaluate how we're trying to get shit done in there, because it's been a waste of our effing time.
Hashtag GOST. Get our shit together.
Yeah. So.
Absolutely. I mean, comes back to psychology again, to tie it all together. It's when you speak negatively about somebody, most people just shut down and get defensive, versus if you speak positively about the opposition or yourself or whatever the discussion is about, that's a completely different thing, and people are a lot more receptive to it. So that's what it comes down to. I think our patients are our keys to a lot of growth and where we're headed, whether it's through manual therapy, acute care, it doesn't matter. Our patients are our lifeline to growing as a profession, and it's maximizing the voice of our patients, not so much maximizing our voice as PTs. And the sooner we do that, the better we'll be for the future. So, Jerry, thanks for joining us again. It's always
thank you,
it's always, Gene. Always fun.
Thank you, Joe.
Had a good time.
Again, everybody, thanks for the emails that we're getting. It's been really cool to all the stuff that you're saying, all the kind words. We really appreciate it. If there's anything you wanna hear about or any questions you have, email us at therapyinsiders@gmail.com. Obviously, check us out on Twitter at therapyinsiders. Jerry, you could find Jerry on Twitter. I don't even need to tell you his handle. You just type in Jer in Twitter and his name pops up.
Type in J.
Just type in J. Yeah.
J.
And at J. What was your Twitter name, Joe?
Joe DPT. It's the other J. It's further
it's
down
the other
list.
J. Right.
You have to say JO for him. So.
Oh, right.
So check out Joe as well. And again, thanks for listening. We appreciate all the comments. And if you get a chance, head over to iTunes, type in Therapy Insiders, and please leave us a review and rate our podcast. We've been up to the third rated podcast in the medical podcast, which is really cool. And again, thank you for that. That's because of your reviews and listening, which was I took a screen cap of that and emailed it to everyone. I was so excited. So thanks for that. And we got some really cool stuff coming up for you guys, some cool guests. Next week we'll be at Next Conference. I'm bringing a recorder and a microphone, and I'm going to be sticking a microphone in a lot of people's faces. It should be an interesting podcast. So we'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks for listening, and have a good one.
Warriors in six.
Yep, go O's.